Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the sunny voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice. And it's time now for the food show. Here we are again, doing something that they said could not be done. A program on the radio about nothing but food all the time, and keep it going for more than a couple of minutes. Well, we have done that. And with all of the effort that not just everybody who works over here does, but also the people who call our show, I thank you very much for that because, well, we don't have like a milestone or something today. We do have one coming up in a few months, but I'll let you know about that. What we do here is we talk about food in any way you can imagine. And although I tell you that, sometimes some of the stuff that I read kind of really pushes your credibility or to the to an extreme. And Doug gave me this, our producer, and it's excuse me, from an outfit called Axios AM. Have you any idea what that is? This is something you got off the web, right? No? We'll know in a second. Anyway, the point of this is basically, just to sum it up, that according to this study, a lot of people, and I'll bet you most of them are on the West Coast, I just have a feeling about that, they are so into food and so into restaurants and all the rest of it that even though they might have kids, even if they're little kids, they take them to dinner. And it used to be, I mean, I certainly did my share of that when our kids were little. They were always with us on whenever we went to restaurants. They loved restaurants, but they always got the same thing. They were eating pasta with butter. You know, basically that was it. And a couple of other little items, a little salad, a little sandwich, a little burger, you know, just the usual stuff. But according to this article, again, I tell you, a source I don't know exactly. There are restaurants where there are kids, special menus for the kids, and they are not like $3 or something like that. They're talking about kids having their own $70 a person prefix dinner. By the way, prefix in this case, it's not P-R-E hyphen F-I-X. It's spelled, it's the French way, P-R-I-X, second word, F-I-X-E, which means fixed price. That's all that means. And but so they have fixed the price at $70 a person. $70 a person?
Oh, yeah.
$70? Who even normal, like, adults don't spend that, you know, that much that often anyway. And so I'm looking down, and then there are other examples of this. There are some television chefs now who pitch particularly to kids. Now, I think that's a good idea, actually. I think if kids learn how to cook, they will learn many other things, too. So that seems all right. I could put up with that. And then there's this other place where the this is truly unbelievable.
Yes.
a restaurant, a very high-rated restaurant that has a kids' menu that includes beverage pairings. Now, you know, you've been to some of the Eat Club dinners are a great example of that, where we have this menu that the chef puts together, and then usually a wine operator, a retailer, or sometimes a wholesaler will come by and let us sample a bunch of wines, and with the idea that the wines go with the food very well. But I just don't think of giving wines to kids. Now they don't. I don't think they are.
No, they're not wines.
But it's just the idea that there is a kids' beverage pairing. So what you get is like fruit juice and.
Have you read the type of fruit juice that they have?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. There's slow plums. Those That you may, that's what you make slow gin.
I like my plums fast.
And there's a cocktail that's just simply called the Cuvée Number 25. And here's one made with pears and currants, served in a champagne glass for $12.
Oh, yeah, it's for the kid.
Yeah, for the kid. Imagine this.
There you go. Axios is a...
Axios?
Axios is a morning news outlet from on the web. So.
Oh, okay. Not that I have a real problem believing that this is going on, because every time you say, I can't imagine that something or other will happen.
I can see this.
It'll happen. Believe it.
I can see this happening on the extreme West Coast and the extreme East Coast.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But right in the middle, we don't go for any of that junk.
No, indeed.
The kid gets mac and cheese and is happy for it.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, I must confess that I'm a little bit guilty to this. And you've probably heard me tell this story before, but I always get a good laugh out of it, so I'm going to tell it again. This is a true story. It involves my grandson, Jackson, is his name. And we were all gathered together at my son's house. He lives in Los Angeles, so he's right in the middle of the danger zone, I guess. And they were just sitting around, and somebody said, I'm hungry. I want a burger. And somebody said, I want some spaghetti. And somebody else said, I want some pizza. And this was going around the room, and my grandson, Jackson, who, let's say, is a forceful young man for somebody who's 2 years old, and he just held his hand up and he said, make reservation. That's my boy. All right. Yeah, I think all the genetics are just right on that one. Our number is 260-6368. And in case you've never been here with us before, I welcome you, number one, but we talk about food in every imaginable way. So if there is something you've always wondered about, you know, why is it that when you go and have, let's say, a Manhattan cocktail, why is it that the cherry that's in there almost always so dark in color that it is pretty close to being black? They're pretty good. I'm not complaining about them, but it's just like a funny thing, and it does seem to be very uniform. No matter where you go, everybody uses that kind of cherry when they make a Manhattan, which is lately becoming one of my favorite drinks. So I don't know the answer to that, but we at least consider this stuff, you know, and also the little goofy things that everybody likes. 260-6368 is our telephone number. Call us and tell us or ask us anything you want about the food scene. If you've had a good meal somewhere lately, do your other fellow diners a favor. Tell us what restaurant that was that had that really great salad, or that really fine version of baked oysters or shrimp remoulade, or even if it's something that's kind of so off the beaten track that you've never heard of it before. We are looking for that. Mostly we're interested in good stuff. But if you have bad stuff, tell us about it. You know, but just do me one favor. Don't say the name of the restaurant until I ask you. Other than that, you can say whatever you want. Within the reason of being a nice person. 260-6368 is our telephone number. 260-6368. Last night, and I wrote an extensive piece of work about this. It's on my website, nomenu.com. And it's also on the WWL website. Most of what I put on nomenu.com usually winds up in WWL.com. It's just a deal we have. But last night, I've had a hunger for the last, couple of months or so. We went to Rizzuto's several times, not long after it opened. I mean, within like 2 or 3 months after they opened. But we haven't been there a lot since. But it's been on my mind because it's quite a restaurant. They do two things on one menu. Thing number one is they serve prime beef steaks. They are not kidding around about it. It's dry aged. I think some of it is anyway. And they do a beautiful job of roasting them. And that's one half of their menu. The other half of their menu is straight down the middle Italian food done in the New Orleans style, more or less. The people who own it are very much New Orleanians, and they know what people like around here. So I've been hesitating to go to Rizzuto's anytime lately, mainly because my wife and my daughter both love the place. And if I were to go there by myself, as I did last night, I would be incurring perhaps their wrath, but I don't think so, not in this case. So, but I went over there, and I had something happen to me that has happened lately in the last year or two, over and over and over and over again, and it's a good thing in one sense, and in another sense, I'm not sure what to say about it. Last night, after I landed at a table and joked around with the waiter and the maitre d' and a couple other people in the dining room, I sat down. I was looking over the menu. I decided not to get a cocktail but to get a glass of wine. Oh, Montepulciano was the one I had. It was delicious. It was only $10 for a glass, and it was a generous glass at that. And it was a dark black, really nice glass of wine. So that was a nice touch. But I hesitated. In fact, I didn't get an appetizer because I went through a fairly good bit of their bread. They make a really nice bread over there. They bake it in-house, I'm pretty sure. I don't know of another restaurant that has anything quite like this. It's kind of dark in color, but it's soft. It's not crusty on the outside. The whole thing is sort of uniformly soft. And you dunk it into some extra virgin olive oil with, whatever additives you want to add to that. And it's you wind up eating a lot of it, and it becomes your appetizer. So who needs another one, especially with my figure? So I didn't get anything. I didn't get an appetizer. I didn't get a salad. Or I didn't get a soup either, although that sounded good. And I went just straight to the entree. Now, the entree, I've told you it's Italian food most of the time, and that if it's not Italian food, then it's going to be steak. Pretty much that's what they do. They do a brilliant job of it. No question about that. But I didn't get any of that. What I got, because my luck lately has been like I'm about to tell you, I got a pork chop. They had a 12-ounce pork chop on the menu. They left the bone as long as you can possibly do without really pushing off the side of the plate. But it was about, I'd say the bone in the middle of this thing was about maybe 9 inches long. And then the part of it that is the actual meat and the roast part of it was totally clean. There was no junk on it at all. There might have been one little nubbin of kind of tough meat, but it just went away quickly, and then the rest of it was tender as could be, and it was brought out sort of semi-sizzling, not exactly like you would get at Ruth's Chris, but it had a little shh going on, and it also had a butter sauce that had not just butter in it, but a bunch of different kinds of herbs and a little bit of lemon juice in it. Every time I've ever remembered to put a little bit of lemon juice in a sauce that's destined for a steak or a chop of any kind, I try to remember to put that on there because I think it really makes a difference. It doesn't sound right, I know, to put a lemon sauce on a steak. It just doesn't sound right, but it is right. Try it next time. And I did last night. It was great, great, great. The best pork chop I think I've ever had. Boy, that's saying something because we have a lot of good ones around town. And without a doubt, the best meal I've had at Rizzuto's. And that's saying something, too, because our luck there has been very, very good. And I was just taken aback at how good this was. And I have made this resolution a few times, and I'm even more convinced of it now. I'm not eating a lot of steaks anymore. I have nothing against steaks, but I think the pork chops are better. The what I had last night, that was absolutely true. I mean, beautiful. Just it looked good. It smelled good. It tasted good. The only other thing on the table was some fettuccine Alfredo, which is a pretty good match for something like a pork chop. And they do a pretty good job of it over there at Rizzuto's. And that was my dinner last night all by myself. I'm glad I was there because I ran into a guy, one of the most influential restaurateurs in the city, although nobody knows who he is. I know who he is. But, we'll talk about him in a minute. But we'll come back to do so after first, if you will, this. It's the food show. We are waiting for our first caller today, just like we do every day. We had a long conversation with one of the engineers a little while ago. And you might, never mind. It's not worth talking about. 260-6368. 260-6368. Call right now. You'll get right in. And we'll talk about anything you want. What have you ever had in your life that's really good? What's better than a steak? You know, the reason that there are so many steakhouses out there in recent years, you can't help but have noticed this. The most recent one was the Fleming Steakhouse that opened up, about 3 months ago, something like that. And they made a big splash. It's a beautiful restaurant. Their food is good. It's not the best I've ever had, but it is very good. And we have had one after another steakhouse continue to open. I remember we were saying this same thing back around 1988 or 89, around then. And we said, boy, one thing's for sure. There can't possibly be another spot for another steakhouse. But we were wrong if we thought that, because they seem to get more and more of them all the time. But despite that, I really mean it. I'm not eating a lot of steaks anymore. I've already long since cut back, but I just like pork chops better. They just are much better. The one I had last night was a killer, winner, wonderful. Couldn't have been better. Let's see. Gregory is over here on the green phone, although it's kind of a bluish green and very dark in color shade.
I don't know.
And there's a little single one eyeball looking sort of halfway up and halfway down. Very
that
strange.
That might be half of Dimpy.
Who's been in here lately?
Eyeball.
Yeah.
It might have been half of Dimpy, the canned frog meat.
Stimpy?
Stymie.
Yeah, Stymie brand. They're still in business. I saw something about them the other day. I bought a few shares of stock. No, I have 40 shares in stock.
Well, not bad, Tom.
Yeah.
Very good. I was able to listen to the replay of your first hour yesterday, and that was a terrific show. I wish I had been listening.
Did you?
I would have loved to have spoken to Kevin and certainly Frank. Man, I can't think of a more gracious, more humble guy than Frank Bryson, and for that matter, Kevin Belton too.
Kevin is just a great kick, because
you had mentioned something in the interview about when you used to pop in on him at the New Orleans School of Cooking, and I remember that too. I would go in there to buy. That's when Joe Kahn was still running it.
Right, that's right. Yeah,
and I would go in there with my friends from out of town and take them to the wall of hot sauce, because they couldn't believe hundreds of hot sauces.
How many hot sauces do you have in your kitchen?
Oh, probably about 25 or 30.
Like, Melanie, you're wrong. I have well over 100.
Okay. Well,
the great chagrin of my wife. My wife, for some reason, thinks that having all those bottles of hot sauce hanging around is somehow a real problem. But, you know, I guess I'd...
I know when you make your guacamole, you like to do it with 12 hot sauces. So that was the last record, I think it was, a drop of each.
Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous. Mixing hot sauces.
Well, you did it, and the guacamole was terrific.
Well, what had happened was that my recipe for guacamole, which I must say, and this is maybe a little... my recipe for guacamole, I think, is just great. And my wife and my daughter too, who are very, very picky about what they tell me. You know, because, you know, I know it's okay. It's your wife and your daughter. What are
most important critics?
Of course, they're going to say good things about you. Oh, guess again. Oh, brother, that's so
really
far from true. But anyhow, one day, one of the ingredients was chili peppers of various kinds. I'd go to the store and I'd see what they had fresh. Chili peppers, and I would take them up and chop them up and throw them in there as part of the guacamole recipe. One day, I forgot to do that, or I left them in the store or something dumb like that. And when I got home, I didn't have anything to fill that gap because you definitely need some pepper essence in there. So I just grabbed a bottle of Tabasco green hot sauce, which is a lot less spicy than their red, the classic
red. I like it.
It's a good product. It really is. But I gave it a, you know, good extra little shake. Mm-hmm. It was terrific. I've made it with that instead of the fresh product ever since.
You know what? That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. I haven't thought about that. But I put a little chilies in mine, too. And then I like to use a couple of drops of whatever hot sauce I have, you know, on hand.
Well,
it really doesn't make all of a difference. But that jalapeno sauce from Tabasco, is actually, I prefer that over that red one. I'm a Crystal guy, and I like the Red Dot, the Louisiana hot sauce, too.
Oh, yeah.
I like Tabasco in recipes, but not on the table, whereas I like Crystal on the table rather than in recipes. Mm. Does that make any sense?
Well, it does, but, you know, we all have an opinion about this. Mine is, once a long time ago, we had, I keep trying to remember his name, Bomber.
Bomber Foods, yeah.
Bomber Foods, but I'm trying to remember Bomber's first name. I can't think of it right.
I think it's James Bomber.
I can't remember. John. But anyway, Mr.
Nice guy.
Oh, yeah, no question about that. But I was interviewing him, and I said, so, you know, this is your product. What do you foresee its use is specifically for, and why would I get this instead of this? And he said, well, I think if you're talking about red beans and rice or gumbo, and he named a couple of other things, he said, then that's perfect for Crystal hot sauce. That's a perfect match, and you ought to stick with that. I use them both. They're both on my kitchen top, and I use them all the time, both of them. Like
any
for me,
Louisiana cook has them
raw oysters on the half shell?
Oh, hell yeah.
No, but which one?
I like Tabasco on my raw.
Me too. Me too. Okay. One little.
I'm guilty of that.
One little.
I made the cocktail sauce with the Crystal, and a little horseradish, and I used that Heinz chili sauce that you still buy in the jar, which I think is the best.
All right. Well, I'm glad we were able to cover all this ground.
Yeah, we have. And you were begging for calls.
I know.
I wanted to mention. Not only the ACFNO, which is going to be very, very great this year, considering it's also the 300th anniversary of New Orleans, and I think there's going to be some special mentions about that. But me, Malfi, you know, being on the board of Malfi, it's going to be really special this year, too. So I hope I get to see you at least one of the days at the Grand Tasting or something, perhaps. Well, I know I'll probably see you at the Thursday, the Royal Street Stroll. I'm thinking it's Friday this year.
I've been backing away from that in recent years.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be really good this year. I think
good. Well, it could use a little help.
Well, you don't know if you're going to be at Queens this year or what.
I'm sure I'll probably stop in. I think we're doing our show from there. We've been doing the program for years.
You almost gave me for a minute. You're back.
Yeah.
Away
okay.
From, I mean, I don't.
No, nobody's asked me yet, though. On the other hand, no one has asked me to do it.
Well, you got to talk to Ralph. I mean, not Ralph, Mr. Brennan himself. Thinking Ralph.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, it's always
you.
A pleasure to talk to
my
you.
My pleasure.
That interview with Frank and Kevin yesterday was just so
good.
Fun. I was laughing the whole time.
Good. Really well, that's what I'm trying to do more than anything, is get a laugh.
You're a gracious host.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. See you. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Let's see here. Our program today is sponsored by, I had it here a second ago, and now Porter and Luke. It's right here in front of me. Porter and Luke, check out their menu right off the bat and give yourself a lot of time for it because it's a very big menu. And it starts off with the very simplest kind of things, like this hot blue crab dip they make. It's loaded with crab meat, And it's kind of in the direction of doing like something along the lines of crab meat au gratin, except that it's just warm and you get some crostinis and you eat them together. Really good starters. You know, have a glass of wine or a cocktail or something with that. Then they have the tuna stack, and this is kind of the same idea, except it's mostly marinated and has a zing to it that really perks up your hunger. At least it does for me. Then they have shrimp remoulade, done very well. Parmesan crusted eggplant, which is irresistible. If you like panade eggplant or eggplant parmesan, it's essentially the same things. Try that. I think that'll move you. And they're also doing their own hummus there, and I'm always on the lookout for that because I do a pretty mean job of that myself at home. But they're good at it. And then a bunch of different salads and cold appetizers. And then they have all the poor boy sandwiches that you could possibly want. And then where the real action is, on the right-hand side of this big, big one-page menu, you have fried chicken. You have grilled gulf fish. You have pecan-crusted catfish, which is great. Eggplant Vincent shrimp and crawfish in a butter sauce. Cowboy ribeye. This is a monster steak, you know, ready to roll. And if you're going to get anything like that, that would be a good cut because it's kind of naturally very, very tender. Rosemary chicken and vegetables. That's a nice little dish there. It's inexpensive at that. Meatballs and spaghetti and eggplant parmesan and a few other things for the kids. And you have a menu that is just about got something for everybody that you can imagine. It's Porter and Luke. They are at 1517 Metairie Road. It's a little shopping mall that has hamburgers. They have Walgreens. They have, let's see, what else? The Middle Eastern restaurant, you know, right over there, and Harry's Ace Hardware. I mean, all this in one shopping center. Conseco, a really good grocery store. And there they are on Metairie Road. And they're open 7 days a week at Porter and Luke. A lot of variety over there, boy. 260-6368. We're coming to you live from the great nether beyond. This is HD Radio. It's the next stage of radio listening. It sounds incredibly better than the radio that you've been listening to. And if you've been listening to AM radio mostly, you're really going to love it. Because that's a 100-year-old technology. Why are we still using it? Well, you could almost say the same thing about FM these days. But if you ever decide to make the plunge, it's not going to cost you a lot of money. I mean, for goodness sake, most people I've talked to who had to pay anything at all for it, for their car, told me that it was $30 or less. This is for a radio that will last you a long, long time, and the sound of it is so good. That's where radio is going. And another important thing to know about it is that, as you know, if you sign up to get some sort of music service or something on the web, that's all wonderful. I'm in a couple of them myself. But radio, as you know it, like what you're listening to right now, is free. There's no charge to listen to this show. You buy your radio. You might not even have to pay for that, because if you talk to the guys over at Mobile One, they actually have some HD radios. I think they still have some. Don't hold me to that, because we've been giving them away for a while now, and at some point they're going to run out. But when you get that done, you will see a huge improvement in your radio listening, and you'll like it a lot better in a bunch of ways. HD radio. That's us right over here, 260-6368, 3:45. Give us a call. Where are you going for dinner tonight? You need some ideas? Tell me about something that you really love to eat, but you almost never eat it anymore because nobody is cooking that dish, whatever it is. I keep running into that, although not as bad as it used to be. You know, there was a time when all of those baked oyster dishes that we love so much, I mean, if you go to places like Arno's and restaurant, or Arno's in Galatoire's, Antoine certainly, and you know, about a half dozen others. You have all these wonderful baked oyster dishes with the sauce, very complex, sitting on top of the shell. It goes into the oven and comes out steaming and sometimes even bubbling. I think that's really great food. That's something that we do better than anybody in the world. And I love getting it. And it is a shame when I go into some restaurants and they don't have anything along those lines. But I guess there's no particular reason why they should. But I give an extra little boost to any restaurant that does those kind of oyster dishes these days. I remember it was back in the 1970s when all of a sudden a lot of restaurants said, we're not going to make these anymore. They're too much work. Oh, boy. That's where the end is located, right down there. 260-6368. Be my friend. Call me on the air right now. If you have nothing to say, you will find out very quickly that you do have something to say. And if it's something as simple as, my favorite food is, fill in the blank, I'd love to hear that. And just knowing that tells us a lot about what people are eating these days and where is it going in the future. I'm intrigued, and lately I've given a number of interviews to writers and broadcasters around the country who wonder why it seems that the restaurant business is changing a lot. And I think the reason is that it's being run more and more by young people who are in their 20s, mid to late 20s, and their taste in dining is really, really different from the one that, as a baby boomer, I still have. I'm not saying they're wrong and I'm right or anything like that, or even the reverse, but I think we've lost something there, and I detect a certain amount of enthusiasm that is lacking lately. People going out to eat, it used to be that you couldn't wait until you got there, and then you'd have a glass of wine, and then you'd have an appetizer. It was so much fun, and now everybody's just like, I don't know, why don't we just get pizza? Let's see. There's somebody over here on the green phone, I think. Let's find out. It's Greg. Two calls for the whole show so far, both named Greg.
Hey, Tom.
Hi there. Welcome to our show.
Hey, thank you. Calling. There's a place on Tulane Avenue, Asian food. Namiz, I believe, is the name.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In Mid-City. Any reviews, good thoughts?
Yeah, I've been there. It's a Vietnamese restaurant, hence the name. That's where the name comes from. And the people who own it, they're fairly young themselves. And when they opened that place, their idea was that they wanted to keep the Vietnamese cooking flavors and ingredients.
Yeah.
They wanted to keep that going nice and strong. But they also are from the generation after the original influx of Vietnamese people back in the 1970s when they came over in very large numbers from Vietnam, everything
right.
going on over there. So, and they served it and it was great. Everybody loves good Vietnamese food. But the guys that own that, they say, okay, we've been making this stuff for a long time now, and now we want to do a Vietnamese restaurant that really does taste like Vietnamese food, but it's different and new and full of surprises.
Yeah.
And that's basically what they're doing in that restaurant. I think it's real good. It's
okay.
Well worth your time.
I'll have to go. And another quick question.
Yeah.
Is Josephine Estelle
As far as I know, I haven't been over there lately, I must say. But I'm pretty sure they're still there. The, you know, hotel restaurants go down very hard, very with great difficulty.
I know. That's why I was wondering. Because it's in the Ace Hotel, is that correct?
Yep, right on the ground floor. It's a great-looking place. It's the former showroom of a furniture company. That used to be where everybody in New Orleans went to get furniture was that five-block radius right around there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I know it's been open for a few years, and I've always heard it's a nice-looking place, but I've never had a chance to get over
It's good. So. It's mostly Italian, really. You don't really notice that until you're looking over the menu. But we like it. We like it pretty well.
Do I have time for one more question?
Sure, why not?
The old 1179, did anything happen with, I know Joe Segreto's daughter, I believe, was running.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know if they popped, if there's any, does she have any plans maybe to reopen it?
I haven't heard anything, but I think I heard like rumors about it that somebody had moved in there and was doing something, but I can't remember what exactly it was. The saga of the previous owner is just, you know, nobody's going to ever catch up with what he used to do. He was a terrific restaurateur.
Hey, Ray, I still think, Tom, we've had plenty of good restaurants come and go, but to me that was one of the more underrated Italian restaurants. And I think the location honestly kind of hurt them because it was really...
Oh, it was a terrible location.
Yeah.
And it was also they were hamstrung by the fact that they had a really tiny kitchen. It was absurdly small.
And that'll
keep you from doing anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well.
All right, Tom. That's
Thank you. Nice Thank talking you. To you. It's The Bye-bye. Food Show. We will come back in just a moment after First Please This, I think. Hello, hello, hello. It's The Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. It's fun to be here with you talking every day about food and restaurants and cooking and wine and, you know, the whole range of all of it. Let's take a look at our food almanac for today, see if there's anything interesting in here for a change. Today, I don't know. This is a pretty big thing. Today in 1812, the territory of Orleans was admitted to the Union and became the state of Louisiana. Okay, we were a territory at one time. Hmm. And it looked just like the state of Louisiana does, so there's nothing much there. But happy birthday to Louisiana. Today is the birthday of Louisiana. We passed up, was it 30 years? No, 300 years, or was that last year? And it's this year. Yeah, that's right. The event that gave the Napoleon House its name occurred. It was a... You've probably heard about this before, but Napoleon Bonaparte abdicated as Emperor of France, and he was exiled to the island of Elba. Nicholas Gerard is really his name, but Gerard, he has a couple of streets named for him. He was the former mayor of New Orleans. In fact, I think he was the very first mayor of New Orleans. And he offered Napoleon an apartment in his building on the corner of St. Louis and Charters. That it was and is the Napoleon House, one of the city's most famous watering holes, that's for sure. Would you believe that maybe you knew this already, but that restaurant, the Napoleon House, is in the Ralph Brennan collection of restaurants. He has 8, I think, now. And the man who owned it, his last name was Impastato, interestingly, he actually approached Ralph Brennan and said, listen, I'd like to get out of the business and retire, but I only want somebody who really knows what he's doing to take it over. And Ralph said, I'll do it. And Mr. Impastato said, wonderful. And they made a deal. And ever since, every time I see Ralph Brennan, I ask him, so how are things going over at the Napoleon House? He always tells me it's my favorite restaurant to deal with because we don't do anything different there. We're keeping it the same as it always was because that's what everybody wants. Oh, boy, I've many a time spent hours on end at the Napoleon House. And in all those years, I only had one Pimm's cup. If you go to the Napoleon House, that's the drink you're supposed to have, a Pimm's cup. I've had one Pimm's cup. And it was enough to tell me that ain't my drink. It's just nothing to it. I mean, just nothing interesting at all to me. I know a lot of people love them. But big tradition, and you can't shoot down traditions right away anyhow. Let's see. Let me give you one more little oddball item here. In 1881, there was a centrifugal separator is the gizmo that was being patented by a guy named Edwin J. Houston and Elihu Thompson. And it, what it did was it separated cream from milk. It also would separate mud from water. I hope you didn't get it confused much. A derivative of this idea is found in many homes. It's called the juice extractor. It's the same idea. And also on this date in 1828, in the Netherlands, Casparus van Woden patented a chocolate powder that could be stirred into milk. Was this the forerunner of Quick? Does anybody eat Quick or drink? I guess you drink it, right? I used to love it when I was a kid because we had Nestle's Quick. Actually, my mother used to just use a Hershey syrup right out of the can. Who knows which one of those is better? I seem to like the Quick better. But my mother really, really loved that stuff. And she was always serving it to us whenever she made grits. My mother made wonderful grits. And but the only way I could tolerate grits is if they came to the table with a glass of ice-cold chocolate milk on the side. So I would burn my esophagus. Stay tuned. We have more of the Food Show coming after the news from CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.